Let us pray. By the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, we ask that the light of your love shine upon the Scripture this morning so that we might truly see, might truly hear. I hear it. We might be changed. We ask this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 5th and 6th verses. Hear now the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, today is the last Sunday I am preaching about the will of God. And you're probably wondering, I didn't know there were so many ways you could preach about the will of God. Last week, I learned that not only did I forget some of the ways that I had preached about the will of God, you hadn't even heard some of the ways I had talked about. We had one of those days last week. So we're going to review over the next 3 hours what we missed. We began this journey 5 weeks ago when Donder was talking about the intentional will of God. I likened it to the fact that God commands us to love one another, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, right? We look at, and I learned this being a Presbyterian student. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is a beautiful thing to understand. I believe that it truly is what God would have us to do, that everything that we do would glorify him. That would be his will. That would be a part of his intentional will for us. But in the midst of that will and that desire for us to love one another, there is free will involved, because love is not love unless there is a freedom of choice in the matter. We are not robots. God did not program into us to do a certain thing and respond a certain way, and that's the only way we can respond. Clearly, if that's not the way it's been working, because it doesn't resemble that at all in the world. But God's intentional world is that we love one another and we love God and we treat each other in a certain way, just as it was in the Garden of Eden. And when at the end of creation, he said, and it was good. But free will came into play. And then with that free will came sin. And the intended will of God is now sometimes shielded from us. The free will that we have when we take a step away from what God has commanded us to do becomes sin. We have distanced ourselves from God, and humanity over time has, by little, but decision by decision, has done some evil things against humanity. Amen? We as individuals, we as a group, we as whole bunches of people have been sinful in our lives. And the intentional will of God is hidden. There are times in our lives when we look out and we can see a lot of darkness in the world. Amen? We can see those things and we wonder, where is the intentional will of God? Because it's hard to see. And we are all find ourselves in various circumstances. We can have bad things happen to us because of the sinfulness of others. There is evil in the world, both moral and natural evil. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. It rains on the wicked and the just. Right? Things just happen. And the circumstantial will of God is how he desires for us to respond to life itself. That we transform what has been evil or meant for evil into something that is good. Weatherhead uses the example of Christ on the cross, where he transforms an instrument meant for death and destruction, the cross, and he transforms that into his throne. And he is glorified there on the cross. And through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, he changes that into the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And this no longer means something this bad. We look at it, don't we? It means something totally different. It's been transformed. That circumstantial will of God is how we to respond to life itself. And there is a way that God desires for us to respond to life. And then we have the ultimate will of God. God's ultimate will be fulfilled. We believe that in faith. But sometimes we might not see it. You read of Hebrews 11, where you hear that litany of those faithful people, even though they were promised things, they might not have seen the fulfillment of it in their lifetime, but the ultimate fulfillment will come. His will be ultimately realized. It will. And so last week we talked about discerning the will of God. How do we do that? And we started with the premise, if you want to know the will of God, you need to get to know God. When I first started dating my wife, I knew certain things about her from a short time of getting to know her. Spending one day with her, you will know something about her. I came in knowing how to do certain things because I had watched other people do them. I would understand what she might would want. I'm still learning her will. 86 years later, we are still trying to understand her will, and some days I make her day. I am in her intentional will, and sometimes I am not, but the more I learn and strive to know her, the closer I get to her, and the more I can understand her will. And so getting to know someone, getting to know God better, gets us to be able to discern that person's will. And so here we are today. And the will is, and the question is, or the statement is, in his will is our peace. In his will is our peace. Is that in the Bible? Who wants to bet that it's in the Bible? It sounds like it ought to be in the Bible. But it's not. It comes from Dante's Divine Comedy. Dante wrote it. In his will is our peace. Weatherhead links that, though, with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Staying in the will of God, we will know his peace. We will know his peace. Now, when Weatherhead wrote that, and when it was published, it was 1944, in the middle of World War II. Things were bleak in Europe. Things were bleak in Great Britain. Things were just bleak. And he wrote these words. For most of us, there is a dull sorrow which goes on day after day, and which then is suddenly focused into some poignant case of suffering, thrusting itself upon our attention because the sufferer is dear to us, or because he chooses us as the recipient of his burden. He goes on to say, there is a relief in a burden shared. But many struggle with knowing how to go on because they know this is so far outside of the will of God. Trying to visualize, imagine yourself living in Britain, living in Europe during World War II. The overwhelming presence of death all around you. Sometimes it would be hard to cling to peace, wouldn't it, when death is all around you. It's hard sometimes when we try to understand what it means to be in the perfect will of God so that we will know His peace. It really is. You see, because you got to keep your eyes on God's intentional will of what He wants from us, His circumstantial will for us, and to have faith in the ultimate will of God, it will be fulfilled. It's difficult. It truly is. I think about in our life the things that we have struggled with, the things that we as a denomination struggle with. Last year, we had a general conference in February where we thought that was going to be the last general conference that would answer the question and everything would be made whole on human sexuality. It didn't. We hear things now about this protocol of how to separate gracefully. And I think about the intentional will of God. I think about the intentional will of God, of what God desires from His people. To love Him and love each other. To treat other people rightly. Treat them in a way that the way you would want to be treated. Not only the way you would want to be treated, but what really excites me. I'm going to treat the worst person I know, the people I disagree with the most, with the joy of the Lord. I'm going to treat them in an unbelievable way, and yet we choose to do something else. We choose. It makes you wonder. There's a book that was written by the Arbinger Institute called The Anatomy of Peace. The Anatomy of Peace. If you like to read and you want to read a good book, read The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute. They write the story and tell the story about how people either have a heart at war or heart at peace. A heart at war would be someone where anytime they are disagree with someone or they find themselves opposing someone, they don't look at them as basically humans. They look at them as something to be conquered and destroyed. And those who have a heart at peace are those that never lose sight of the humanity of the person who is against them. And they use an example of a historical figure, I forget his name, 1,000+ years ago, who we would have thought would be the person would have a heart at war, but they were at war, and this ruler captured a group of people, and one of the wives of the prisoners came to this man and said, "Would you allow me to move to that area where my husband is in prison so that I might visit him?" Now, I'm thinking 1,000 years ago, this ruler was going to say, "Oh, while you, not only no, but will you take her out back? She is my enemy. She is someone we're trying to destroy." But this person, this ruler, said yes and allowed the woman to move to where her husband was in prison and then visit him in prison. A heart at peace is one that never lose sight of the humanity of those that they are opposing. And sometimes in our life, and I look at our political climate, I look at that and I see a bunch of people with hearts at war that defies God's intentional will, God's circumstantial will, and we pray for His ultimate will to be done. Amen. And I believe it grieves the heart of God when the church doesn't keep its eye on God's intentional will. If you look at the book of Romans, and Paul is writing to a church he's never been, and he says that I long to be with you. I'm coming to you. I have intentions of getting to Rome and going on to Spain, and we're going to keep on going till we get to America if I can get reservations. He's trying to get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you get to the 15th chapter, he says, I can't come to you now. This offering that the Gentile Christians, the pagans, have taken up in their poverty, for the church in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians, me interpreting it, that gift to them is more important than me sharing the gospel. You see, even Paul understood the unity of the church in God's intentional will. And so I sit here, how do we discern the will of God, and how do we stay in the middle of God's will so that we will have peace? It's so important. And so Weatherhead says there are three things that we need to be about doing, because when we stay in the will of God and in the middle of the will of God, we will have peace, because in the middle of the will of God, we lose the fear of being lost. Have any of you been lost? You might can't remember when you were lost, but you can remember the fear in your heart when one of your children got lost. They didn't know they were to have fear, right? I liken being lost to that prodigal son. He ends up in the distant, far country, and he's eating slop that pigs would eat, and he wakes up. And he realizes he is not where he's supposed to be. He is not at home in a place where it's prepared for him. And I don't know if he was completely afraid, but he wanted to get back home. When we are in the middle of the will of God, we don't have to fear being lost. But when we take our eyes off of Christ, when we allow ourselves to make a decision to step outside that will, the light's not quite as bright. You know, this doesn't feel so bad. If this don't feel so bad, you know, it might feel better over here. You know, it might feel a little better over here. You know, this isn't so bad. And then you realize you're nowhere close to where God wants you to be. And we can feel the pain. There is also this happens when we, this peace we have when we're in the will of God, is that we realize that we don't have to bear the responsibility for all things. Now, at the first service this morning, I asked this question, and Greg McCann, he was guilty. No doubt about it. I asked the question, how many of you were ever told by your parents who were getting ready to go out to eat or something, said, now, while we're gone, now you don't do this. Don't you dare do this while I'm gone. And what was the first thing you did when they walked out the door? Anytime we were told not to do something, we did it. And sometimes we got caught. And the whole weight of that responsibility is something we had to bear. And back then it was a lot worse than it is today. We didn't get time out. And so we had to bear the brunt of that. But if you're in the will of God, you don't have to bear the whole responsibility of what happens. We read about this in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is this strength in knowing that you're in the will of God, and that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And there is a peace, because we don't have to bear the burden alone. The third thing that happens is that if we stay in the perfect will of God and in the will of God, that peace has to do with the fact that it reduces conflict. Conflict. As long as I mind my wife, there's a whole lot less conflict. When Art obeys Betty, there's less conflict. When we do the will of our Father, there is less conflict. And that scripture about the yoke comes into play. Usually when there was a yoke, there was a place for two animals to go in there, and one of those, the head of one of the animals, was always stronger than the other. And the job of the strong animal was to get you from this side of the field to the other side of the field in a straight line. And that's what they were responsible for doing. The smaller animal or the weaker animal, they were responsible only for what they could carry their own weight. And so their job was to walk alongside and model the larger animal. And as long as they were doing that, there was less conflict. When that smaller animal decided it wanted to go where it wanted to go, the yoke would always rub on its neck and bring it back in line. When we're in His will, there are less conflict, and there is peace. That's a powerful thing, a picture of what it's like to live in the will of God, for there is peace. I have a friend by the name of Glenn Etheridge. Some of you might have heard of him. Glenn was the pastor of Oak Grove United Methodist Church. He took a leave of absence back in September. He was diagnosed with cancer in late June of this past year. And on Facebook, he has been chronicling his life with cancer. He has been one of my, I would say I've respected him as much as anybody I've ever known in ministry. And so this past week, after some not so good news, he made a post. And I'm going to read some of this post, excerpts from it. In this post, he never uses the word peace. He never uses the will of God. But in the midst of his post, you will sense that this is a person who's walking straight in the middle of the will of God, and he has peace in his life. So I'm going to read this to you. Our most recent medical news is concerning, at best. Actually, it's a gut punch, and I'm staggering. Possibly, I have come to a fork in the journey of life where part of my life becomes preparing for death. We updated wills and durable powers of attorney for health care over the last week. Kathy, his wife, and I have had difficult conversations about medical life support. These conversations have been difficult, but not grim. They are part of life if you face it honestly. Kathy and I have both strong faith in Jesus Christ. My life is in the hands of God. My death is in the hands of God. I prefer to continue life on earth, but I have no fear of death. I will be with God. I do not worry about dying. In other words, I worry about pain and suffering, but not death itself. My prayer life is different than you might expect. I do not presume to give God instructions. So rarely do I pray, God, change this or that. Instead, my prayers are, God, give me faith, strength, courage, compassion, or whatever virtue my soul needs in this moment. Today's prayer, Lord, grow my faith so that I can face this in every hour of need in the assurance of faith, trusting not in my ability to change the future, but in your ability to fortify my soul to overcome all things. The type of prayer actually strengthens me. I do not get mad when things don't go my way. Sad, yes. Mad, no. Why? Because I never tried to change the course of events. I simply tried to strengthen my soul and face life as it unfolds. God has never failed me. I am grateful for life's blessings, but I am not entitled to them. Life doesn't owe me an easy path, but in my darkest hours, I've experienced the grace and strength of God, and that is God's greatest blessing to me. So honestly, I'm worried, but not defeated. I have medical problems, but I have faith in God who gives me strength. I have family who stands strong with me, two dogs who think I'm something special, and friends who give me the gift of love and caring. Tomorrow morning, I will wake up, reach deep for faith and strength provided by God, and with hope in Christ, I will have a great day. Join me in celebrating life. More than ever, I know each day of life is a gift. For me, that is a man who, in a family who's walking in the center of the will of God, and he knows his peace. May each of us be in the will of God and know his peace. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your abiding presence, for your great love for us, your intentional will, your circumstantial will. And we praise you that your ultimate will be accomplished in life. May we be able to discern it. May we be able to be in your will and know your peace, no matter what we face. May we know the peace that surpasses all understanding. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.